All right, we are now joined by a very special guest, Tom Burgoyne, best friend of the Philly Fanatic. What year did this start?
Yeah, let's see. I guess I became the friend of the Fanatic in 1989. So this is 36 years now.
Wow.
Loving life.
How did the opportunity first come about?
Well, let's see. You know, the Fanatic, he has a hard time making friends. So they actually put an ad in the newspaper. I saw the ad and next thing you know it, I'm hanging out with the green guy. It's pretty awesome.
Were you a Philly area guy growing up?
I was, yeah. I grew up in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly. And big sports fan, you know, just the biggest Philadelphia sports fan. And so, when this opportunity came along, it was literally a dream come true.
How did your perception of the Fanatic change when you were growing up in the Philly area versus when you had the opportunity to be the best friend of the Fanatic?
You know what? I don't know if it changed too much. It's a great question. When he came out, the Fanatic to me, you know, I was a Philadelphia sports fan. I was also a little bit of a class clown. So, you know, I like to say he was like Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, and Mike Schmidt rolled into one, you know. And so when I got the chance to be a little closer to the Fanatic, you know, that's really what it is. You know, he's kind of, the Philly's biggest cheerleader. Likes people, making people laugh. He loves, leading the cheers. It's just kind of a all-encompassing thing, you know, what the Fanatic represents.
And you were like the alternate for the first couple years, and then became the de facto full-time friend.
Correct, yeah. For the first 5 years, I worked with Dave Raymond.
Yes.
Dave Raymond, who was the original best friend to the Fanatic. And so that was a great opportunity. I also worked in our marketing and promotions department. I played the music at the Vet for a few years, worked with Dave on Fanatic skits and those kind of things. So it was just really a great 5 years. And then when Dave moved on after the 93 season, I took over all game days and travel and all those kind of things.
What kind of like sage words of wisdom did he pass on? And like, what advice did he give you about that role?
There's only one thing, just go out and have fun. And that's all it really was, just go out and have fun. Not a lot of, you know, do this, don't do that. You know, I think a lot of it is, you know, you have to use your own judgment. The Fanatic has to, you know, use some common sense. Don't get in the way of the game at all. It's a fun act, it's a family act. Don't cross the line and nothing rude, nothing crude. You're allowed to get, Fanatic likes to get close to the line, but it's a family act and just go out and have fun.
Are these things like written down? Like did Dave like write down, is there like a manual of being the best friend of like things that you're supposed to be doing, like do this, do that?
Yeah, yes and no, but not really. It really is, I was fortunate enough, again, growing up a Phillies fan and also a Fanatic fan, I really knew the character pretty well. That character has been in Philly since 1978. So any Philadelphia sports fan, I think they've gotten to know that character, that personality. So it's really been very consistent over the years. So there really wasn't any need of, you know, don't do this, do this. I mean, certainly you have to be careful when you're out in the crowd and you're engaging with fans on the field, with players on the field. That's one thing the Fanatic kind of really started, and that was that engagement between the Fanatic and the players on the field. And you wait for them to make the first move. You know, they're getting ready for a game. The Fanatic knows that, but if they're looking to have some fun, Fanatic senses that and can have fun with the players. So a lot of it is very spontaneous and just going out there and having a good time.
Are there certain players in your run as the friend of the Fanatic that like you knew that you could kind of mix it up with, or like more like able to get in there and kind of like do stuff before the game?
Yeah, there usually are, you know, players again who I think it's their way sometimes of just relaxing before a game. You know, hey, we're coming to Philly. The Fanatic's going to be there. I mean, I've had guys bring their own water soakers, and Mike Piazza was always a guy who would like before a game would come out of the dugout and challenge the Fanatic to an arm wrestling match on his ATV. Guys would steal the ATV or steal the keys. It's really cool when the players get into the act.
I remember when Bryce Harper was on the Nationals, he grabbed the keys from the ATV.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just talk a little bit about Bryce, like the evolution of like him as a National doing that kind of stuff? And like, I feel like he's like the most embracing of that character now.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Bryce has always been a big Fanatic fan. I remember the Fanatic has been going to the All-Star game since 1996, been every All-Star game. And Bryce would see the Fanatic, not only when he'd come to Philly, but even at the All-Star game. I remember a couple times, you know, he's grabbing, you know, some of his All-Star teammates, like, there's the Fanatic, he's the best, he's the best. So when he came to, actually it started here in Clearwater, when we signed him, we had a press conference. And it was funny, they were all waiting in the visitors' clubhouse. It was an off day, and we were getting ready for the press conference. So it was Bryce and his girlfriend at the time, wife now. Let's see, who else? His agent and some friends, his parents were all there. Well, the Fanatic kind of busts into the room. We're all waiting to go on, but Fanatic busts in the room, kind of pushes Harper aside and, you know, goes after his now wife and, you know, just having a good time. But I remember his dad saying, hey, Bryce, show the Fanatic your bat. And so he's like, oh, yeah, Fanatic, come on over here. And he gets out his cell phone. He gets a picture. And here he has this beautiful painted bat that has the Fanatic all over. I'm like, wow, that's really great. And then the first game down here, he's got the Fanatic shoes on. Opening day, he's got, you know, what did he have? I mean, he everything was Fanatic. And, you know, he's been doing that every year, coming out with a different, you know, the headband. He had a suit made with the lining, had the Fanatic all over it. So he really, it's, the Fanatic loves it. He's like, man, I think I'm going to be out of job, actually. You know, I'm now not the best friend, I'm the second best friend. I think Bryce has become the best friend. But it's been, what's cool about it too, because the Fanatic, you know, went after the shoes, you know, the Fanatic cut out a couple, you know, pictures of Bryce and painted them on it, you know, and stuck them on his shoes. And he had a jacket made, you know, with Harper all over the lining of the jacket. So it's been a great relationship, you know.
That's so cool to see. I like when players are like, they're willing to mix it up with the mascots. I think that's really fun for the fans. I've always seen, I feel like the Fanatic's been ranked number one in terms of sports mascots for, gosh, decades now. What makes the Fanatic the best mascot in all of sports?
Yeah, I think there are a few things. First of all, it's a great looking character. It really is. It pops, it's green, he can, you know, he moves around pretty effortlessly, naturally. Also the team. You know, the team right from the beginning, the Phillies really have supported the Fanatic. You know, when Fanatic wants a new toy, he gets it, you know. And that goes from, you know, that four-wheeler that he's been driving around to his own van when he makes appearances to the hot dog launcher, you know, when he wants to shoot hot dogs. So the team's really been supportive. And then it's just really, you know, Dave Raymond, it's such a big part of it because, it, you know, mascots back in 1978, you know, there weren't many. And the chicken, I think, was the original. You had the Fanatic, and then they kind of blossomed from there. So it was such a new thing. This idea of goofing around with the players was new. And one interesting thing happened, you know, Fanatic for years, messing around with the players. And then all of a sudden, you know, the players might become sportscasters. And so when a visiting team comes to town, you know, that sportscaster, like, ah, oh, I remember when we used to mess around with the Fanatic. And so I think that's kind of how it started, this kind of national appeal for the Fanatic. And then ESPN comes along and highlight reels. And so I think that's one of the reasons the Fanatic popularity has kind of grown over the years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. It's such a great job. And you've been doing it for so long. I'm wondering, how many more years do you want to continue to be the friend of the Fanatic?
As long as my body, you know, holds up, you know, it's not easy running after the Fanatic. You know, he keeps me very busy, you know, up and down steps and, you know, running everywhere around the ballpark. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. I hope as long as I can, as long as he'll have me, I'll keep the job.
All right, last question. What is your favorite trip that you've been on with the Fanatic?
Well, the Fanatic has been all around the world. You know, he's been to Japan a number of times, Australia a couple times, Europe, Caribbean, South America, Canada, of course. But I guess the biggest trip was the Galapagos Islands. You know, the Fanatic is from the Galapagos Islands. And he decided to go to back to his homeland. And I brought my wife and my kids with me. And we filmed the Fanatic back at his, you know, original homeland. And it was pretty wild, actually, because, you know, the Galapagos are, you know, unspoiled. They're this beautiful, you know, island chain, all the animals run free. And I remember when the Fanatic first went to his first island, you know, he came out of the mangroves. And there are probably about 500 sea lions just sunning themselves and hanging out on the beach. And they took one look at the Fanatic and they kind of, I don't think they had ever seen anything like that. Charles Darwin, now we know why he came up with all those theories of evolution in the Galapagos Islands, because, you know, I don't know if there's some kind of evolutionary thing there with the Fanatic and the sea lions, but it was a great week. Fnatic got to hang out with all his old friends, so he was real happy to go home to the Galapagos.
That's such a cool thing to be a part of, like, an organization and be working with the Fnatic for so long, to like be able to travel like all these cool places. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Hey Tom, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it. And let's go Phils.
Let's go Phils.
We interrupt this episode to bring you a word from the official sponsor of Not For Long Media and the Breaking Bats podcast, the Original Fudge Kitchen. It is a staple of the Jersey Shore with 6 locations in Cape May, Wildwood, North Wildwood, Stone Harbor, and Ocean City. The Original Fudge Kitchen makes all of their fudge in-store, guaranteeing a delicious product, so stop by and let them know that Not For Long Media and Breaking Bats sent you. Check them out online at fudgekitchenswithans.com as they are shipping fudge and sweet treats all across the country. Now back to the episode.
All right, we are now joined by a very special guest. It is Philadelphia Phillies radio broadcaster Greg Murphy. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, how can you not be doing great? We got spring training going on behind us, and the weather's perfect, so all is good.
How's your morning been on a Thursday in Clearwater?
Yeah, it's been a busy morning. I think it's about 10:15, but we've already played 9 holes of golf this morning, which was great. So, but now we're getting ready for today's game. The Red Sox are in town. It's going to be a packed house in here, as it always is. So it should be a lot of fun.
We just had the best friend of the Philly Fanatic, Tom Burgoyne, on. He told us to mention, was there a time in your life where maybe you're interested in becoming the Fanatic's best friend?
Yeah, there was a time. Yeah, he just graduated from St. Joe's University in Philly. And my father saw an ad in the newspaper that kind of vaguely alluded to the fact that you'd be working in baseball in the media entertainment side of things. And I thought, all right, that sounds like fun. So I applied for it. Turns out it was for to be the best friend of the Philly Fanatic. And they brought us in, and we went through an interview process, and they narrowed it down to like 10 people, and they brought the 10 of us into the old Veteran Stadium Eagles locker room, and they had about 8 people up behind a table, and they had a radio, a boombox, on the table. They hit play, and they said, dance. And you had to dance in front of these people all by yourself. No costume or anything. And that's when they said to me, hey, nice. Thanks for coming in. So that was not meant to be, but you know what? It kind of all worked out. So,
but being here now and around the team so much, we asked Tom this, but in your opinion, what makes the Fanatic the best mascot in sports?
Oh, you know, so, you know, growing up in Philadelphia as a kid, I just remember watching him and thinking he was the most amazing thing going on. And then as you get involved in the organization, it's so funny. He does things that he did back when I was a kid, you know, polishing the guy's bald head or making fun of the pregnant lady when he sits down, and you know, and it's funny today. It was funny then. It's funny today. And everything he does, he just makes me laugh every day. So there's no doubt he's the best mascot in sports. No doubt.
He's so much fun.
Yeah.
So you're a Philly area guy, right?
I am. Grew up in South Jersey. Grew up a Phillies fan. 1979 is the first season I really remember. And then, of course, they won it in 80, so I was locked in after that.
To be with the team and to cover them for the radio, like, how special is that for you?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I pinch myself all the time. I've been very lucky in my career. I graduated from St. Joe's University, and I started my career in Reading, Pennsylvania, so not too far. And then a couple of years later, I came back to Philly, and I've been here ever since. And I've been a sports anchor in the studio and done stuff like that. But when the Phillies called and asked if I wanted to be a part of the broadcast team, it was like, wow, are you kidding? You know, pinch me. Yeah. And every day since then. It's been 12 years. And I marvel that I get a chance to do this all the time. So, very lucky.
As a little kid, like, you were like, you know what I would like to do one day? I'd like to work for my favorite team.
Yeah, so. Right? You know, I listened to Harry and Whitey and Wheels and those guys growing up, Andy Musser. And never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that someday I would sit in the same seats as they did. I actually got a chance to work with Wheels for a couple of years before he retired. And so, yeah, it's kind of remarkable when you think about it. It really is. So.
I wanted to ask, because we got here early, there's a line hours before the stadium opens. And even last year, like, you know, obviously they didn't go to the World Series, but they made a deep playoff run. The bank was rocking all year long. What can you say about Phillies fans and how passionate they are?
They're the best. I mean, you know, I think other teams down here, we'll go to other ballparks and do the games over there. And, you know, some of them are full. Most of them are not. You know, you know, down the left field line, the right field line, empty seats. Here, there's not an empty seat in the house. There's not a blade of grass on the berm that you can see. And the tiki bar is rocking at all times. Phillies fans, they love their team. Now, we're like every other city in that when the team's better, you know, of course, there's a lot more interest. But there's never not a demand for their sports. There's never not a demand for for Phillies baseball. But like I said, this is a product of being a really good team. And again, you know, being in the mix for a World Series championship, which we will be again this year, which is great. And Phillies fans certainly do know how to support.
Was there a moment last year where you're in the booth and the Citizens Bank Park was going so loud, like you're like, could you feel it shaking? Like, what was the loudest you've seen the bank going?
Yeah, well, you know, in 2022, when Bryce hit the home run, the bedlam at the bank, you know, moment, that's about, I'm getting chills just talking about it, honestly. That was about as special as I think it gets, right? And, you know, short of a walk-off to win the World Series. But last year, I distinctly remember being in the radio booth, seventh, eighth inning, you know, deep in the series, whether it was the Braves or the Rockies. But I remember, or Arizona, sorry. I remember thinking to myself, taking my headphones off and saying, I gotta listen to this without these on, because if not, I'm gonna miss something, right? I just wanted to take it all in. And it doesn't disappoint. It's so loud, you can barely hear yourself think. And yeah, I do think you feel it rocking a little bit, right? You know, with all those people and the excitement in there, yeah, it was great.
Playoff baseball in Philadelphia is unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's pretty special. You know, other sports, you know, you think about raucous in football and you think about, you know, the intimacy of maybe a smaller arena with basketball. But baseball, when you see something like that, you know, 45, 50,000 fans all in unison, cheering at the same time, you know, these fans are smart. They understand the game of baseball, so they know when the appropriate moment is to start rocking. And when that all happens, it's special for sure.
You mentioned Bryce Harper. He had a lot of quotes this spring that got me fired up, and I'm not even a Phillies fan. He said he wants to play deep into his 40s. Yeah. He said, I'll play wherever you need me. Like, is this one of the most successful signings, in your opinion, in recent memory for the Phillies?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can argue that we have two of the best signings probably in Phillies history currently on this team, and that's Zach Wheeler and Bryce Harper. Zach Wheeler, because they saw something in Zach that he hadn't shown yet in the big leagues, and when they brought him in, they gave him that three-year contract, I think it was, or maybe it was 5 years, I forget, but and he has lived up and outplayed that contract, and now he certainly has the new one now, so I think he's one of the best signings ever. Bryce Harper, he's a whole different animal, right? He'll go down as probably the best, or you know, second best player ever to put on the Phillies uniform when it's all said and done. And who knows? You know, Mike Schmidt would probably tell you that he's going to rival him. So, he's been great. He's great. He's just what this team needed at that time, and what a terrific player. So, he's kind of everything. He does get us fired up. I know he gets his teammates fired up, and he delivers in the clutch too. So, he's a pretty special player for sure.
His defense at first base, I feel like, people like kind of ragged on him at first, but he actually finished the season not bad. He's going to be a full-time first baseman. Yeah. What do you think the expectations are this year?
I think it's better than not bad, to be honest. I mean, in his first game, if I'm remembering correctly, we were on the road and he played the first game at first base and he made a catch into the camera well and flipped into the camera well and held on to the ball. And that was the first game he played at first base. And we thought, all right, you know. He works so hard out over here on the half field. He's out there every day with Larry Bowa, with Bobby Dickinson, working through things. I think he has a chance to be a gold glove first baseman. I really do. And would it shock me if he won one this year? It wouldn't. He's that good of an athlete, and he's that serious about his business. And you put those two things together, and, you know, good things are going to happen. He's going to be good over there.
Oh, yeah. The other thing I want to ask about was the starting rotation. Some money was spent this offseason to keep Wheeler and Nola. What do their presences mean at the top of the rotation for all these years to come?
Yeah, you know, you can't overemphasize the importance of pitching, right, in Major League Baseball, and to have two of the best, and they are. If you're ranking the top 15 pitchers in baseball, Wheeler and Nola are on that list. So you have two of them in your rotation, and they kind of just set everything up, and now you have a guy like Ranger Suarez, who might be a two on any other team, is a three here. Christopher Sanchez is kind of emerging as a superstar, or as a star in the making, which is great. He'll be your four. Taijuan Walker. I mean, you look at this rotation and you can't help but be excited about it. Everybody needs to stay healthy. That's the mantra of every Major League Baseball team going forward. But if our guys stay healthy and they're able to go out there and pitch every fifth day, this is as good of a rotation in baseball this year, no doubt.
All right, my last question, state of the NL East. I'm looking at this, the team stacking up. I'm seeing a lot of kind of the same as last year. How do you kind of assess the NL East and where the Phils fit in?
The NL East is a juggernaut.
It really is. The Braves are an outstanding team. They are. And they're going to go out and they're going to win 90 plus games. So then it, you know, where do the Phillies fall? Where do the Mets fall? I think the Mets will be better this year than they were a year ago. I don't know if they'll rise to the level of, you know, getting back into the postseason mix. We'll see. They certainly could. They have the talent. You know, I see the Phillies right there with the Braves. And it's going to be how they play against each other head to head. Phillies have had success against the Braves, as we know, especially in the postseason. But, you know, I look at the Phillies and the Braves as 90-plus win teams. And, you know, who wins the division, who gets the wild card, that remains to be seen. But, man, it's a tough division for sure. And, you know, I think the Nats have some work to do. But and the Marlins probably maybe take a step back. But those three teams at the top are pretty good. So.
Oh, my gosh. Greg, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoy your game here today. So you're calling it on the radio. So, like I said, thank you so much.
You got it.
And before we get out of here, a special thank you to the band Stick Figure for allowing us to use today's intro and outro music. Playing on your radio, coming through your stereo, and everybody's getting down. You can't seem to let it go, running like a video. You're haunted by the weight of but now